Welcome, everyone. This is the Beer Guys Radio Show. Thanks for joining us this week for some craft beer and conversations. We're going to cover a lot of hot topics, have a good time, have a few beers, as we like to do. Again, this is Beer Guys Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. With me is my good friend and co-host, Brian Hewitt.
Hey, Tim.
And producer extraordinaire, Mo Mike Nate.
Hey, Tim. Hey, Brian.
Hey. How's it going this week, guys?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Good. So, Super Bowl Sunday. We made it through another Super Bowl. The Chiefs and the 49ers. And I want to say this because I got an email on it. We did correct this later in the show last week. But I imagine someone was listening to the show and got to the part where I made a mistake. And they're like, I need to mention this. So I was not aware. I totally missed that Las Vegas has the Raiders now. And I really should have clicked with me. The fact that we're having Super Bowl in Las Vegas would kind of suggest they had an NFL stadium there, but it didn't. I didn't realize that they had moved to Las Vegas, which just goes to show my utter lack of knowledge about the NFL. I know surface level stuff. When I need to answer football related questions, I go to ChatGPT and tell it what people are talking about and ask it what I should say.
That's right, Tim. You'll get a pass this time.
I'll make it.
We forgive you.
I will make it through it. But anyhow, big deal. The Super Bowl ads are always a big deal. There's beer ads. And this year, so what's, Brian, what's your ranking? We had, from the beer commercial side of thing, we had a Coors Light ad, a Bud Light ad, a Michelob Ultra ad, and a Budweiser ad. And what was your favorite? Do you have a favorite there? Do you have an opinion on this subject?
I watched them all and they were all fairly forgettable. Actually, the Budweiser one I've watched since because I somehow missed that in the show. It's a safe one. It's fine. I was mildly amused by the Mick Ultra. Maybe I like that one more because it had the little Ted Lasso appearance and all that. It was all right. They were all pretty forgettable. They were kind of safe, easy, you know, a few chuckles here and there, but that's about it.
Nate, how about you, man? Of any favorites there?
The only one that I really like was Budweiser because it made me nostalgic for the classic Budweiser iconography, you know, the Clydesdales, the dog. That was really the only thing that drew me to it. The other ones, like Brian was saying, it's kind of just blended into the pack.
In case anybody missed those, Coors Light that had their train, their silver bullet train, and LL Cool J was the conductor and he ran it through the wall at a party. That's the short of it. The Bud Light one was a genie. The guy's got a genie. They asked to be rich. The guy wants big biceps. Someone wants to be rich. Or someone says they want to be Post Malone, or they want Post Malone to party with them. Someone wishes for a T-Rex and they're like, who wished for a T-Rex? Post Malone's like guilty. So that was fun-ish. Michelob Ultra, we have Lionel Messi was playing. He ordered a beer and the taps were dry. So they had to go get another keg. And while they were getting another keg, he kicks a soccer ball around. That had your Ted Lasso appearance in it, Brian, and stuff. So, then Budweiser, classic Budweiser. There was the roads were all snowed out and they didn't know how they were going to get beer to the bar because the bar was running out of beer. So they hitch up the Clydesdales, driving to the bar, and then the snow is just blind and they can't see anything. And the bar dog runs down the street and barks at them to let them know the bar is this one, because we all know that Yellow Labs don't want to do without their Budweiser.
That is true. I'm also wondering the people operating the horses, at what tier in the distribution system were they? Were they distributors? Is that what it was? Or was that supposed to be Budweiser sending it? Because they can't do that in most places.
That's a good point.
Distribute directly to the bar? I don't think you're allowed to do that.
They would have to be a distributor, wouldn't they? I mean, maybe that bar was in a state with some self-distribution. they could allow that, so possibly. Possibly.
Is Budweiser even allowed to do that? They're so large, usually.
I don't know, because in a lot of states where they do allow the self-distribution, it is, well, to be honest, Brian, a lot of the states, Budweiser kind of essentially owns the distributors anyhow, if you want to, I mean, in a roundabout way. So I'm sure states that allowed it, and because they've already got the infrastructure for it, because they're trucking beer all over the place. So, and the Clydesdales, they've got, I Who knows how many Clydesdales they have these days?
And I guess the distributors own the Clydesdales. That's what I'm figuring. That's got to be the case. Yeah. I mean, do all Budweiser distributors have Clydesdales in case the weather is bad? I mean, these are questions I have that need to be answered.
There was
independent contractors. They just
they're 1099 in those horses, man. So they don't get any benefits. They're not paid for holidays. It's really bad conditions for them. They should go on strike.
Yes.
Unionize. Clydesdales need to unionize.
Yes.
You know, they're I grew up in Virginia, and then I think there was one in Tampa, maybe. Busch Gardens. Anybody been to a Busch Gardens park before?
I haven't.
Where'd you go? Which one did you go to?
In Virginia.
Okay. Okay. So that was there was a park there called King's Dominion, and then there was Busch Gardens, were the two big amusement parks near Norfolk, Virginia. And then they've got Colonial Williamsburg and all of that. But does anybody remember, I guess, Nate, you probably don't. I think you were not born at this time. But back in the 80s, there was Eagle Brand Snacks. Brian, do you remember Eagle Brand
Snacks? Yeah, I remember Eagle Brand Snacks.
I think that was an Anheuser-Busch product because they anytime you go to Busch Gardens, they would like hand out these Eagle Brand Snacks. So I think they were related somehow. I can't say that with 100% certainty, but I think that's who that was.
I've never been to one, so I don't know. I know the name, and I'm sure I've had them, so I have no idea where I would have gotten them from. But yeah,
Brian, Busch Gardens has Clydesdales. They've got the big barn there with the Clydesdales and stuff, so you can go in and see the Budweiser Clydesdales. Very exciting.
Okay,
and roller coasters, but they don't let the Clydesdales on the roller coasters.
About that, see, that would I would go if it was just Clydesdales on a roller coaster. That would be pretty sweet. I would like to have ride a Clydesdale on the roller coaster, so I get in on the horse and then the roller coaster does its thing.
You can do that on the log ride, but not on the roller coasters.
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah. Well, that's the thing you could. Okay, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, you can ride a Clydesdale through the log ride.
Okay, all right. Well, that's fine.
It's a good time. It's a good time. But yeah, Brian, speaking of these, so commercial-wise, the biggest beer seller on Super Bowl Sunday was Michelob Ultra. So I guess people were trying to keep those calories tight so they could eat more wings and pizza and such.
Yeah, yeah. Their draft sales were up 0.7% from last year, which is, I guess, significant these days with sales. And Bud Light was the previous number one Super Bowl Sunday draft seller last year, and they're down 31.8% in terms of draft this year. They're also the official beer of the NFL. So, people, I don't know if it's a health thing or if people are still mad at Bud Light over, you know, things that have gone by. I don't know what it is, but 31.8% is a lot to be down. So there's a little bit of a grudge there. And it's interesting. Well, you know, they didn't all go to Michelob Ultra because Michelob Ultra is only up 0.7%. So I guess enough of them did. So it knocked Bud Light off the top spot.
Spread it out there, huh? You know what we're going to have to look for, Brian? I'm sure the info's out there and we probably just didn't see it yet. I want to see how NA Beer did for Super Bowl Sunday because I feel like each year it's a little more popular. And I know it was up in dry January that it did. Well, it always trends up a little bit more each year in January, but I'm curious how many people carried that over into their Super Bowl Sunday festivities.
I considered picking up some non-alcoholic beer to mix in with my beer for Super Bowl Sunday. And I saw a list when I was looking up the news where they had recommendations of beer. And one of the recommendations was Heineken Zero. So there was actually an NA recommendation in, I want to say it was a Punch or whatever, one of the bigger named periodicals or internet news sources, I guess, when they get their list. And I'm like, oh, they're recommending non-alcoholic beer. So I'm like, that's noteworthy. I don't know if they've done that in the past. They may have, but it's probably a recent thing. So my guess is it's probably significantly up. And we know that non-alcoholic beer in general for January was up. So it makes sense that some of that would carry over. I don't know how much, though. I didn't see any numbers.
You know, there's just so many places where you're seeing it more often. That's Brian, I like to watch cooking shows. And Smalls told me about this one the other day. It's a they do it live on Netflix, a cooking show with the chef David Chang, and his guest on a recent episode were Nick Kroll and John Mulaney. And so they're sitting there. It's basically just these guys kind of running their mouth back and forth while Chang cooks a meal for them. But Nick Kroll was sipping an Untapped or an Athletic beer. Mm. And they mentioned it there. And then when Chang was making the sauce that used beer, he used an Athletic beer in it. So
In the sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, okay. So because I think a lot of times when you use beer in there, the malt is really, you know, just that malt flavor in that is really what you're looking for in there. So, I mean, you could use an NA Guinness in your stout. You're still going to get that roasty malty flavor that you're looking for, or in your stew, like a beef stew that uses Guinness. But yeah, starting to see it more places, more people getting into it. And they talked about tin fished as well, Brian. Them cool. Sardines and that. So
I can see a benefit to the depending on the brand you use of the non-alcoholic beer, just because some of them haven't the fermentation. It hasn't chewed through all the malt, so the malt flavor is a lot more forward. It may actually be a better choice if you're just looking for the flavor of the malt from the beer. It may be, yeah, you may be better off on what you're going the non-alcoholic for. Route. Yeah.
I'm going to have to try making a beef stew and using an NA dark. They don't call them stouts. That's the one, like they'll say NA IPA or things like that, but I guess stout's one they avoid. They're normally called darks. So
I don't remember the reasoning for that, but it was kind of a
I don't recall
what that was. I used to know. So it's perplexing.
Doubt. Maybe that's because stout is a classification like we were talking about with Owen at the Cascale tasting, stouts and ales, you know, things like that.
Yeah,
it's a legal classification, and that's why.
That's it. Yeah, do you know if that's right, Nate? I know you know more kind of about that side of things.
I'm fairly certain in the couple of times that we've had Athletic on, they said that it had something to do with the legal definition, and that's why they couldn't call it a stout. It had to be a dark ale.
There you go. The dark. Or just the darkness.
The dark.
The darkness.
All right.
Good stuff. Brian, crazy beer news this week out of Florida. Monster moves at Cigar City. So Monster Brewing, I think it's Monster Brewing Company now, is the official. Yes. They changed the name of it. It was, what was the Canarchy company before then? It was Canarchy.
Canarchy,
so yeah. Purchased by Monster, changed it. But news came out, actually, I'm friend with Wayne Wombles, who was the brewmaster there at Cigar City. I'm friends with him on Facebook. And he posted, he's like, as of today, my position has been eliminated. So if anyone doesn't know the history of Cigar City, beers like High Lie and many others, and Hunapu. Fun fact, Brian, fun fact. The Hunapu was first served at a beer fest in Atlanta that Wayne had made it when he was here. I believe he was at maybe...
Was it a Cascade
Brewing? Buckhead Brewing? It may have been at ACAT, but that was the first appearance of Hunapu before he went to Cigar City and made it what it is. But... I mean, Wayne kind of is Cigar City, or was, I guess. And, you know, really kind of grew with the company, gave him everything there. But, you know, you've got the corporate ownership now with Monster Energy. And Brian, you know, you asked a question. We were talking about this earlier. Like, is Sapporo going to go Cigar City like Anchor? You know, is Monster going to do to Cigar City what Sapporo did to Anchor? Pull a Sapporo. That's right.
That's what I'm calling it going forward. If you're going to take
pull a Sapporo, yeah.
If you're going to take a revered operation that you don't fully understand and just ruin it, you know, like a large idiot child, I'm going to call that pulling a Sapporo. So, yes.
Yeah. That's really the big thing is you take something that has Monster doesn't have the soul. And big beer in general is going to be hard to have the soul. You know, we talk about the nostalgia for old Budweiser and that. And maybe back 40, 50 years ago, it did have that. You know, I've talked about my first memory of drinking a beer was with my uncle, an 8-ounce shorty can of Bud, you know, Bud Heavy, fishing on the Chesapeake Bay. Good memories there. But that is the time when Budweiser, you know, that was America's beer at the time. But when you've got your Monsters and your Sapporos and all these companies buying into these breweries, they're simply business transactions. I mean, I think we know that. So, and, you know, they will do what they have to do, what they feel is best for their business, based on balance sheets and all this stuff, you know, so it's crazy. I
just find it strange that it's not so much. It's not just that they laid him off, let go of him. They eliminated his position. He was head brewer at Cigar City. So Cigar City doesn't have a head brewer anymore, I guess. They probably have brewers, but
probably a bunch of production brewers, right?
Yeah. I'm like, so there's no guidance brewing there. I mean, I guess I think Monster thinks they could direct them, but I mean, they've changed the name from Canarchy to Monster Brewing. It's very clear. If you go to their website, everything on the website is about their Monster energy drinks, or their hard drinks and all that crap. Like, it's clear what their focus is. So
yeah,
that's why I'm like, are they going to pull a Sapporo here? Because they don't know what they've got. They bought it. They may need the capacity it has, or they thought they needed it, or maybe they thought they needed some. I could see them just wrecking it. Like, they suck all the stuff out of it they need, absorb it into Monster, and then just crap
just
can.
Toss it out, man.
Yeah,
toss
just it dump out. It. Yeah. You know, maybe they produce, you know, Hialeah next to where they produce whatever their alcoholic beverages are out of that same facility, and it's no longer anything other than just a mass produced beer. So
is that a pro or a con? Let me ask you that. So if a brand can be kept alive, a brand that you love can be kept alive because it can be brewed other places, and they shut down that brewery, is it a pro or a con that it can continue to live on?
Assuming that the brewery was going to be shut down one way or the other, the fact that they can keep the beer alive is definitely a pro. If they can keep it alive in some crippled form, that's not as pro a thing anymore. And if it's a greatly diminished thing, or if it was completely optional, then I don't see it as a good thing. Yeah, it's better that it's there than it's not, but only if it's reasonably close to being as good as what it was. If it's just a sad thing, it's gonna end up dying anyway. Like if they produce it somewhere else and it's just kind of half-assed, you know, like it's not gonna survive. Probably it might. Maybe the name would be enough to keep it going. I don't know.
Yeah. What are your thoughts there, Nate?
You know, I think some brewery owners, you know, that have sold out in the past, we've seen them where they just leave the brand and they're like, all right, you know, that's something I built. That was my baby. It's not my baby anymore. I got my money and I'm moving on. I'd be curious to know what Wayne's opinion is after the sale, whether he was satisfied with the sale. And it sounded like he wasn't quite ready to move on because the tone of the post saying, well, my position got axed. I think if a brewery gets bought out and the new person comes in and bastardize it, and you're left with just like one brand, I'm leaning with Brian. I'd rather just not have it at all, because, you know, whenever we talk about Cigar City, we're not just talking about Hialeah. We're talking about the Maduro Brown. We're talking about Unipu. We're talking about all these other brands that we know and love from this brewery. And just to have one left over, one or two left over, and maybe taste the same, I'd rather fondly remember them than drink mediocre stuff.
I remember them. I remember when Cigar City slammed the garage doors in my face.
That's true. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah.
So here's the thing, man. I'm probably putting way more thought into this than I need to, but I do feel attached to the brands that I love. You know, and to be perfectly honest, most of those are Georgia beers, just because I know the people brewing these beers. You know, we've got a few friends in Asheville and Denver and other places, Fort Worth, Texas, and all that, where I do have attachment to those beer. I feel something more than just this is a good beer. I'm drinking a Lagunitas Willetized right now. Delicious beer.
Yeah,
I have no emotional attachment to that beer. If whoever made that beer, if it was a good beer, I would drink that beer. You know, it's a, you know, if it came out and I saw it. An example we've used quite a few times on here is Terrapin Brewery. Terrapin sold to Miller. You know, they're owned by it now. My friends still brew those beers. You know, my friends in the Athens brewery sell those beers. You know, we know Spike, the owner, one of the original founders of that. We know Spike. Our buddies up at Terrapin ATL Brew Lab at Truist Park are brewing beers that they care about, they love. I care about what those guys do. If Miller was to shut down the Terrapin breweries and they kept Wake and Bake and Rye Pale Ale alive, they would not be the same beers to me anymore.
Yeah.
So, does that make sense? So
I get that.
With that? Yeah. So that's just kind of the thing there. It's like, it's just not quite the same, man. Not quite the same. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of other people that, for example, with the Sapporo and Anchor thing, if something happened where Anchor Steam beer was still out there, there will be a lot of people that are happy just because they can still get Anchor Steam. There will also be a lot of people that, if it's just brewed by somebody who's using the name and the recipe, it just won't have the same meaning for them. So it could go either way there. But
it would be really hard to take over the mantle for that. And I did look. This is the first time in like 3 weeks we haven't had some minor update about Anchor. Nothing.
Okay.
We're supposed to know something about who's buying it. We don't know anything. So I guess there must be some weird behind the scenes negotiating happening or something like that. There's just nothing out there. So, yeah.
Okay. A little callback to earlier in the show. One of our listeners dropped in the chat here. Thanks, Bob L. Eagle Snacks. Anheuser-Busch introduced them in 1979. So that was it. I don't know how long they stayed around, though, because I remember pretzels. And if I remember right, I think it was shaped like the A in Anheuser-Busch. I think
that sounds so familiar, and I just don't know where.
Will you Google Eagle Brand Snacks pretzels and let me know if I'm remembering these pretzels from 40 years ago properly? There, I bet there's a pack of them for sale on eBay because that's just kind of the way.
Oh, probably
the way things go. But yeah, man, crazy stuff going. You know, we've seen it. There's just a ton of it this year, just one after the other after the other. The latest being Wayne being released from Cigar City, you know. So
you're right. The pretzels in the shape of the A and the crackers that were in the shape of the A.
How about it, man? Good
cheddar
stuff.
And bacon crackers, pretzels, honey roast peanuts.
Okay. Yep. There. That's a pretty good memory for a kid who was like 7 years old and ate them 40 plus. I'll just say plus. I don't want to throw the real number out there, but 40 plus years ago. So
many decades ago.
Many, many decades ago, before riding the Clydesdale down the log ride. So
that's right.
It was a good time. Brian, moving right along, taxes. Man, it's that time of the year, not just for us breweries and everything, but the Beer Institute releases 2023's estimated beer taxes. What are they telling us?
Yeah. So to set the scene, the domestic tax paid in the U.S. in 2022 was $162 million in change. And the domestic tax estimated to be paid in 2023 is $151.5 million. So it's down about $10.6 million or about 6.5%. Between over in the past year from what it was. So the suggestion from the data is that it reflects just a decline in the amount of beer that's been produced, not a decline in the tax rates for the beers. In fact, everything I've read about taxes lately with beer has always been about pushing it up. Like we had that story in Oregon where they're trying to take it from like 8 cents a gallon to like $3 a gallon or something like that. Some like just crazy 1,000 or 3,000% increase. So
revenue's down, got to raise those tax rates, man. So got to make up for that lost beer production.
That's what they're figuring. And so that's where that's at. We're down. That's just more of what we know, just from a different perspective. But the price of beer has gone up. So technically everything I've seen is the actual dollar sales are still slightly up, even with the volume going down.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say, man. With all the bad news that we get in craft beer, give me some good news. Even if it's just a small sliver that we're grabbing at straws here. What do you got?
Oh, yeah. So it is craft beer is actually slightly outpacing total beer in sales in the start of 2024. Both craft and total beer are down, you know, as we know. Craft dollar sales were down by 1.4%, while total beer is down by 1.5%. So craft is a little bit ahead. Okay. And in terms of volume, it's craft is down 2.6 and total beer is down 2.7. Craft's lead is greater in the convenience channel, though it is still slightly down. So it's 0.3% down. But so craft is really like making up some of the difference or making up a bigger difference there. And obviously, the 19.2 ounce stovepipe cans of Voodoo Ranger are helping out a lot. So craft is really getting those are like pontoons for craft beer, basically. Everybody climb on the stovepipes and stay afloat. I think that's what's going on with
go
the industry
for it.
Right
float,
now.
Float on your stovepipes.
More stovepipes, man. That's how you stay afloat. Give us some of those stovepipes and throw them in the nearest convenience store, and people like me will go drink them every Friday.
Now, when you're talking slightly, man, you can't get much more slightly than that. than like a tenth of a percentage.
A tenth of a percent. Yeah.
You know, again, with all the negative news, take the tenth of a percent that you can get and be happy about it there. So it's a good thing, man. And, absolutely. Again, stovepipes, we're seeing more and more. Our friend of the show, Tyler, one of our Patreon supporters, he shared a picture earlier this week. He grabbed him a, you know, a nice stovepipe at the convenience store there. So maybe that's a new channel, Brian, to introduce people to craft. They go in, they see a few stovepipes there, they grab one, and they're like, hey, this is nice. You know, maybe instead of that double deuce of Bud Light, do they still do those? That's a, before craft beer did 22s, before they were popular in craft beer, the double deuce of the macros was a thing.
Yeah.
So if you were having a light night and you didn't want to quite go for a quarter, a 40, you could get your double deuce.
And that makes me think of something, because a lot of the 40 ounce bottles used to be staples at your convenience stores, especially gas station ones. I go into them and I very rarely see the 32 ounce or the 40 ounce bottles or even 22s, but I'll see 22 ounce cans. I've seen the tall boys that are extra thick that are like 22, 24 ounces. I've seen those. I think Yingling does one, in fact. Like, it's a 24 ounce can. It's big. It's all cans now. It's all big cans and maybe a smattering of smaller cans. So that's the new convenience store play. And I think it really is probably keeping people on board or even luring some new people in. So it's a surprising, interesting, and powerful channel right now for craft beer.
I feel like I grabbed a 40 one time and it was plastic. Like in a plastic bottle, and that just didn't feel right. It just did not feel right. That's, you know,
that's uncommon.
Right. I didn't care for that. But guys, our beers of the week, we've got some good stuff. You know what? I've already kind of given away what my beer of the week is. I'm currently sipping a Lagunitas Willetized, which is a coffee stout aged in rye oak barrels. Willet rye oak barrels there, and 12.4%. Brian, I got to say on this one, you get all the notes in this one. You get the roastiness, you get the coffee, you get the spirit flavor in there. Well balanced, really well done beer. So, and this, I forget who it was, Brian, but this one was shared with us from one of our followers. Someone on Twitter saw you mentioned, or you saw they were drinking and said, man, I love that beer, would have to get some. And he hooked us up. He was
nice enough
to hook us up. So very cool for that. So
indeed.
You know, we do appreciate that. We've also got Brian's on a little pre-game and today with Noda. Hop 2O Mango. Is that Mango? Did you typo there, Brian? Is that
supposed to be Mosaic.
Mosaic. Yeah. Mango Mosaic. And NA Sparkling Water. So is that a hop water from
Noda? It is a hop water, yeah. It was pretty good. Yeah, I'd forgotten I had it. And I was like, I hope this isn't too old. I opened it up. It's got a nice lingering mango flavor. I enjoyed it.
Good.
I liked it.
All right.
So one of the good ones in terms of hop water.
So is it Mango with the Mosaic added? A little double dip in there on the flavor?
Yeah, there's definitely a hop presence. It's not, I think it comes across to me, and it may not be as fresh as it once was, but it comes across as a really good mango flavor with some of the vegetal hoppiness, but not just slight. It's not, it wasn't overly pronounced to me. It was much more mango. Maybe the hops faded a little bit, but I like this, and I would definitely get this again.
Good stuff. And then, Brian, I'm assuming these are little Super Bowl leftovers here. You got you a Yinlin there.
That's
good,
right?
Old traditional lager. And from Creature Comforts, a long haul Doppelbach.
That's right.
Nate is sipping from Braxton Brewing. He's got Garage Lime, which is a lager with lime. And from The Vale, he has Secret, which is a hazy dipa. So enjoying that. Lots of good beers to be. Guys, you guys always put like two or three on there. And I got to be honest, in a 1 hour show where I'm doing a lot of talking, it's just not happening. And I don't have time to pregame before we go on the air. You know, it's work, grab a snack, get on the air. Let's go Wednesday.
Drinking at work.
That's right.
I guess so.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
You got to do it.
This is something that's known. Now I failed. I was running a little tight today and I just grabbed the hop water because I could kind of squeeze that in. And it is a 16 ounce can, so surprisingly took me a while to get through, but
frequently,
when I'm setting things up, I'll go over, you know, run a show or whatever. It's nice to have a beer while I'm doing that. So I usually can finish off most of that while I'm going. And yeah, sometimes that last one, it maybe towards the end of the show,
pushing it a little bit.
Yeah. It's sometimes that last one's hard to get in. So
gotcha. Well, Brian, this is an interesting one. So the Middle East, not exactly known for their craft beer culture out there, but at least in one place, that's going to change a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's right. And thinking of that, I used to work with a guy who worked in Dubai, and it was pretty much well known there were places that supplied homebrew equipment because you couldn't buy beer, but you could make your own wine or other beverage, and you just had to kind of buy these cooking supplies, yeast and malt and all these sort of things as kind of a wink, and you brewed it at home. So that was a common thing. But that's changing now, thanks to new regulations allowing for alcohol fermentation in Abu Dhabi. Side Hustle Brewing is opening the first brew pub in the United Arab Emirates. Before the law changes, consumption of alcohol was a criminal defense unless you had a license to do so. Now you can legally consume alcohol in the UAE as long as you're 21. So like a lot of countries around the world, if you've heard of Side Hustle before, and I have, it's like my spidey sense was tingling when I saw that. It's probably because they partnered with Bevana to contract brew their beer before it was legal to make it in the UAE. So apparently they brewed it here in the US. I think it was saying it was contract brewed in Virginia, and they did sell some in the UAE, but it was also available for a while in the US. That does not appear to be the case anymore. I looked around and they don't seem to be sold here anymore, but they're going to be opening up. They're partnered with a restaurant, so it's going to be a proper brew pub, and they'll serve their beer, and they've just started brewing it on site. So okay. We'll see how long this lasts. It'll be interesting.
You know, occasionally, Brian, during the show, I have thoughts, and people have probably noticed that I don't always vet all the thoughts that I have, and I don't remember everything like a steel trap. But one of our friends, Seth, lived in Dubai and Cairo for a while. He's in the oil and gas industry. And one of those two countries, you could not drink alcohol if you were a citizen, but they allowed expat clubs where you could drink there at the expat clubs. And I know one of the expat clubs that he was in one of the countries would order, like, once a year, they'd get like a whole hog from Germany. You know, they'd have it flown in to have, you know, a pig roast there, because of course not happening, you know, in a Muslim nation. But he mentioned, of course, everything like sausages and all that. He said one of his favorite things he found over there, it kind of looked like the little Smokies that we get, but it was a dry sausage, like a Slim Jim, but they'd come in a little pouch, but it was chicken, of course, you know, and instead of pork.
So yeah, that I think that area is a lot more restrictive. I spent some time working in another Muslim country, and they had a separate section where you had to go into. It was almost like the adult video store, or the video store that had the adult room in the back, where you had to go in the back and they had a special person to cash you out, but then you could get your pork products and things like that. They could sell you beer in the normal thing, but they had gloves on, so they wouldn't even touch it. But you could order it. But by default, most restaurants serve some variety of like beef or chicken sausage or things like that. So
yeah.
Beef pepperoni. I had so much of it while I was there. And
beef pepperoni.
It's not the same thing. It's
okay.
It'll get you by. But let me just say that, you know, Southeast Asia is not the ideal place to go looking for pizza. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's not really pizza's home exactly. Yeah. There were some all right ones there, but, you know.
I'd actually think going with turkey or chicken would be the better choice than beef for pepperoni. I just
pretty sure it was beef.
The flavor.
I believe it was beef pepperoni. Yeah.
Okay.
It's interesting. Right. Yeah. I think there were like, I think the sausages were either chicken or turkey. I think they might
have. Is that been where chicken, Chef Boyardee got beefaroni from? Was that the idea? Be.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Could be. Good stuff, man. Well, yeah. So that's interesting. I guess, you know, things relaxing there for them to brew some beer over in the UAE. And, back here stateside, Brian, Nate, when you go to a brewery, how likely are you to get a flight?
I'm actually pretty likely to get a flight.
Okay. Well, then you're part of the problem, Nate. I think what we're going to find out here. We went to a little brewery down in near Tampa. This was actually a trip we took down when we went down for a Hunapu's Day trip one time. And I forget the name of the brewery. I'm so good at forgetting things. But they had like a 21 beer flight, like this thing. Do you remember that, Brian? The place that was like there. It was seriously like every tap there. Little bitty place right on the kind of on the boardwalk to the beach there. Maybe over in Dunedin?
Yes. So, yeah. Dunedin or something? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So, but anyhow, on that note, a lot of breweries are fighting back against the flight, man. It's breweries are saying no more. So what's the scoop, Brian?
Yeah. So apparently a growing number of breweries are not doing flights for a variety of reasons. And the article I was looking at it, insidehook.com, kind of went through and interviewed a bunch of different breweries, and they broke out all the reasons for doing so. To start off with, the glassware is all the same in a flight, and so each glass is not suited to the style of beer being poured. The drinker does not get enough beer in a flight to fully appreciate the beer. So if you get a couple of ounces, the people brewing the beer don't feel like you're really going to get a chance to appreciate the beer. Beer choices may clash with each other, and I've run into this getting the flights where I'll drink one and hit the next one. I'm like, ooh, yeah, maybe these shouldn't have followed each other. I try to line them up in such a way to avoid that, though, generally. So for logistical reasons, people are often taking too long to just select what's going to be on their flight board. It takes a lot of time for the staff to actually pour the beers, and it takes extra time and space to clean and store the flight gear. As a result, it just increases the wait times. And I've always thought that if I go into a place that does flights and it's busy, they need to have two lines. One line that's just regular pours only, and another line that allows for regular pours and flights, just because it doesn't make sense to not do it that way. If some of us just want to go up, we know what we want, we're going to grab a beer, we're going to go, we'll pay for it, that sort of thing. As for the younger brewers coming up, it's also about image. I think this one is best explained with a few quotes I got from the article. And here's the quote. I think flights are a relic of a bygone era of the dadverse. And here's another quote. What is Gen Z not like? They don't like things that their dad likes. Whatever my dad thought was cool in 2006 is not cool with me. So,
okay.
There's a little bit of just a rejection of this as being a dad thing, which
a
is
a dad thing. I had no idea. Yeah. I had no idea, though.
So, yeah.
You know, there's times when I've got a flight at a brand new brewery. I've never tried any of their stuff before. And, you know, I don't necessarily want six pints, but maybe I want to try their Pilsner and their sour and their stout. Mm-hmm. But I hate getting behind someone trying to, if you're going to do flights, have rules, Brian. I think you were kind of saying that. Have rules. Get a card, have your flight picked out before you go up to the bar. Don't stand up at the bar and pluck around there for 10 minutes. I went to one of my favorite breweries here in Atlanta, a fairly large brewery, and they did flights, and they had it set up where you had your tap wall right there on the front of the bar, and then on the other side of the bar, which was probably 10 or 15 feet from where the tap handles were, is where the glasses were. And each time that bartender would do a flight, they would go get one single glass, come fill it up, and then move on to the next one. And I was about to lose my mind. That's like, just grab four glasses.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just grab four glasses. You're doing a flight. Just, you know, you're going to save a lot of time there. So seriously, this is not an exaggeration. It took 7 hours to fill one flight. So when I was there in line.
And it's worse if, like that, in that particular case, perhaps the person was indulging in something to take the edge off, to relax them a bit. So
that could have been. They were like, oh, man, yeah, I'll get your flight.
It's like, that's cool, man. I love flights, man. That's great.
Charge them for your time. Like, that's a great
That's dish. Right. I'm going to send an invoice hours. There. Oh, gosh, man. Gosh.
They are getting paid by the hour, not by the flight.
How many beers they serve? That's a good point.
Him getting paid back for by the hour.
I'm not. Oh, I'm no, not. No, I was. Not I. Nate, I literally figuratively died while I was there.
Literally and figuratively.
Rip in peace, Taylor. Yes. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I think it is interesting to see things. And I guess that's part of being part of the dad generation or an older dude or whatever, is you don't realize some things are daddy. That sounded weird. That's not, I didn't mean that the way it's.
So many things are daddy.
Let's say dad-ish. My shoes. I think I shared this revelation with you guys not long ago. I have this style of shoes that I absolutely love. And I saw a guy on Instagram that was talking about one of his favorite things to do is to find these Fastenisha Instagram influencers. and then paste ugly shoes and repost their picture. And I think if I remember right, he blows the shoes up. He makes them like half as big as they're supposed to be. So not only are they ugly shoes, but they're ridiculously sized. And he's scrolling through a few of the pictures. Y'all, I kid you not, one was the exact shoes that I love. And I was like, oh man, I had no idea. No idea at all. So
I think this is, yeah, the big interesting thing to me about this is it's kind of a rejection of the hipsterism that kind of grew with craft beer. Like there was such a thing, and I remember, you know, the handlebar mustaches and the leather smocks and all that. And that's now a dad thing. So I remember being crotchety when that was coming up, thinking, oh, the hipsters, they're going to ruin this. And they actually propelled everything forward, and it became synonymous with craft beer. And now they're old people.
the hipsters are old now. They've been around long enough. They're actually part of the elderly group. That's, you know, the breweries with uncomfortable wooden high top benches and Edison light bulbs all over the place. Yeah. So
that's dads. Those are dad beers. Untapped checking in. I saw another article or saw something, a news item about the way some kids keep in touch with their dad is by messaging them through Untappd.
Through Untappd, I did see that.
The only social media they use. It's such a dad thing. And I'm like, wait a minute. How is this a dad thing? But you know what? Those people had to, those guys that were, you know, doing that had kids. They were, you know, in their early 20s when Untappd came out in, what was that, 2009, 2010?
It's been around a while now,
hasn't
it?
Yeah, it's been 13 years. They'll have teenage kids now, probably. Yeah.
Gosh, crazy. I tell you, man, it's just amazing to me, you know, some of the stuff that you just kind of don't realize it there. So for one of our younger listeners, if we have any of those, maybe we got all the dads listen to our show. What is cool now in craft beer? What's cool for what makes a brewery cool? But and you know what, Brian, that could be part of the thing with craft beer is you've got all the people that were part of that dad versus generation are the ones starting the breweries. So, you know, they're going, that's like when you go into your grandmother's house. And you think that it's, you're like, oh, this is an old person's house. It smells and looks like an old person's house. Well, they decorated that thing 50 years ago, man.
Yeah.
So to them, you know, it's gorgeous and comfortable and all that stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. So my house is probably that way. I mean, my shoes are. So no doubt my house has got some stuff that is not the coolest now.
Yeah, I've gone through my place thinking, oh my goodness, that's 20 years old. I remember thinking about when my parents had something around the house that was 20 years old, thinking how old that was. I'm like, now that's me. That's my life. It's, you know, one of the things that I saw in an article, and it wasn't really a full-fledged news article, but they were just talking about what's appealing about tap rooms now. It's aesthetics. They're getting away from the industrial stuff. They want, I forget the exact terminology, but they want a different look. So the look of the place is a big deal. All I can say is the thing that makes a tap room cool to me is, can I sit there for a while without, you know, my butt falling asleep or feeling, you know, a bunch of pain from sitting there for a long time. I want someplace that's comfortable to sit.
Can I hear my friend that is sitting across the table from me? These are the important things. So
yes,
becoming more and more important, Nate. I'm seeing more and more breweries that are talking about
pinball. A dad thing, or is that a new kid cool thing?
I don't know with pinball if that's a dad thing, because I can tell you this from going around and going to the arcades and going to the breweries that do pinball, and that it is the dad crowd that's going to that. You know, Brian and I went out last weekend to a new arcade that opened up. For those that are pinball heads, Stern just released the Jaws pinball machine, so everybody's looking to play that one. And we went to a place where we didn't know that had it, but it did. They just got it in the night before. And it was all upper 30s to probably 60, some of those dudes there waiting to play that machine.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there were kids in there, Nate. There were younger folks in there. But to be honest, they were playing pinball, but it was more like, I'm going to jump on here and play a game of pinball. It wasn't like the dad crowd that was there looking for the machines and trying to figure out how to play them and trying to figure out the rules and all that. So you may be right. It may be more the older crowd that's into it, but then you have like, there's a kid in Georgia. I say kid, I don't know exactly how old he is, but he is younger. That is like the Georgia State champion and just won a big national championship out in California. And just, but based on the pictures, I'd guess he's a 20 something probably.
Okay.
Who knows, man?
These things come back. And, you know, the crazy thing is you could tell who was really into pinball and who wasn't. They were all the ones that were waiting for turns on that Jaws table.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. It was to the point that the guy that was setting up the machines was actually in there. And he told us, I just commented to Brian, is like, those guys are staying on that Jaws machine. We may not get a turn. And the guy overheard it. And he's like, hey, did you say those guys won't get off the table? I was like, well, I said, to be fair, we haven't asked them. We've just been kind of waiting for them to wrap up. He's like, they'll get off. He's like, I know those guys. He said, if they don't, let me know. But and we did have to ask them, you know, for a turn to play it. But nice dudes. We ended up chatting with them for a while. It was a good time. Had some I had a PBR because that was kind of what was available there. I think they had Tropicaya. Brian had one of those, but it was a limited selection of beer at this particular place, but they did have some beer. But
that is the attraction to bars and tap rooms right now. It's an experiential thing. That's another big selling point. People don't want to go to a tap room or a bar that doesn't have anything to do. They want some sort of experience when they go there. Like drinking the beer is just ancillary or just part of it. It can't be the entire package. Now, I got to say, if the place has the right kind of beer, that can be the total package for me, but I get that. Apparently, I'm part of the dad verse these days.
Maybe some tinned fish, some craft beers, and some pinball, and you just won't really have a need to go anywhere else, will you?
Yeah, some tinned smoked oysters would be really great, but you know, any tinned fish would be good too.
Nate. So, Beer Bar down in Avondale Estates, Georgia, my parents' basement. They have like 20 machines. They're probably the second or third nicest pinball arcade around, and they're not really a pinball arcade, but. Scofflaw just sponsored a tournament there, Brian. Nate, they just gave away a bunch of Scofflaw swag at my parents' basement. So breweries are getting on board with the pinball, and I'm seeing more and more breweries that are posting pinball machines. Noda has shared on Instagram a couple times the machines they've got there. We know, let's see, in Atlanta, we know Eventide has machines. Yes. Schoolhouse Brewing has machines. My parents' basement, which is a craft beer bar. You know, these are all ones that... we know. Any other breweries you can think of, Brian?
I may have been getting it confused with Noda, but I was thinking that Nofo may have had them, but I haven't. I have a friend that goes up there fairly regularly. He stops in and I asked him about it. He said he didn't see any. So maybe I'm getting them confused with Noda. But my parents' basement, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm trying to think of anybody else who does, but I do like that. The ones that get them are really, you know, not just getting a machine. They're getting several. Like I know Eventide had three or four. Schoolhouse had four or five.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Pretty good ones. Yeah. And that's what you need. I mean, having one's good, but you need a few. So you got enough for people to move around and, you know, try a few out.
Check it out. Yeah. You know, maybe we can talk to our friends at Terrapin Brewery Atlanta about getting a machine in there, you know, and the Fox Brothers. They could take that sidebar room and turn that into a little arcade there. And I think they could probably get half a dozen machines there. Because you know what, Brian? They do like to experiment and see what works there. So maybe pinball machines could be the next thing. And while you're there, you can try some of their experimental beers, Brian. Like, for example, they've got their Farm System series, which is American IPAs. That they rotate through different hops. And right on tap right now, they have experimental hop number 472 called Farm System 472. And that brings citrus, woody aromatic, and check this out, cream caramel notes to the beer. So I'm interested and skeptical of a beer with cream caramel notes in it. But again, you can go try it out. You know, go see what's up with that. And they also have Farm System Vista, which brings sweet fruit, herbal, and citrus notes. And to me, that sounds like my jam. I don't know about a beer with woody aromatic and cream caramel notes, but it does make me curious to give it a try there. So, and you know, even if they don't have pinball right now, they're going to have good barbecue to go along with these beers from the Fox Brothers barbecue there. So get something, check it out. Cool place, good people. As we were talking about earlier, these are our friends brewing these beers, and they care a lot about what they – but on tap there, they're trying fun stuff. They're trying new stuff. You know, sometimes, Brian, they're kind of like the farm system, you know, the minor leagues there. If they do a beer that really takes off, they'll get called up to the big leagues, man. They'll take it to Athens and put it into distribution. But if you want to try the new stuff before it becomes the big new stuff, check out Terrapin Brewery Atlanta and let them know that the beer guy sent you.
Cool. And so in honor of Valentine's Day, which happened this week, I'm going to give you my love-themed truck and tap beer picks for the week. So starting at Woodstock, the choice is clear here. I'm going for the Allagash Heart of Hearts Fooder-Aged Sour on Raspberries. But there's a good chance I will follow that up with Creature Comforts Hop Agenda Anchovy IPA, not because Anchovy IPA has anything to do with love, but I'm looking forward to trying out those new anchovy hops, and I'm amused by the name also.
The name, sure.
Yeah, that's why it stands out to me. But at the Alpharetta location, I'm going to go with Six Bridges Tableside Flambé, which is a Banana Foster's Imperial Brown Ale, and it kind of sounds like the dessert you would order at a dessert on a Valentine's Day date. Over at Duluth, my pick is going to be Wild Leap's Side Bay IPA El Dorado, because there's nothing wrong with loving hops, even if they've got to be your side bay. Over at Duluth, my pick is Wild. I went to the wrong thing. So
he doesn't finally know what he wants.
Yeah, I got distracted. I had my notes, and I was going to go back to Duluth for another side bay. So we'll do that. We'll get two side bays, because there's nothing wrong with loving hops. But finally, as the song goes, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. So at the Lawrenceville Truck and Tap, my choice is Creature Comforts, My Very Own Mole. It's like a liquid love letter to yourself. So, but whatever your circumstances may be these days, you can always drop by your local truck and tap and find friendly people and food and drinks you'll love. And thank you to Truck and Tap for your support.
Good stuff, Brian. Yep. Good stuff. Guys, so your beers of the week. I've rambled on about mine, about my Willetye Stout here. Love it. Just a delicious stout. It's been a minute since I've had a good barrel-aged stout. So this is nice. Again, I mentioned to you guys, I'm trying to watch my health. The doctor told me to, watch my sodium, do this and that. I've been eating vegetarian dishes, guys, if you can believe it. So I've been doing that, watching my salt. So beers like this, I haven't been hitting too much. But I figure if I do one every couple weeks, it's not going to kill me. And it sure does taste good. So I've really enjoyed it. Nate, what was your winner today?
Honestly, my winner today was this Braxton Garage Beer Lime. It was a really nice, easy drinking beer. Got it on a whim when I went up to Cincinnati end of last year. And it's just a crushable light 4% light lager with lime in it. Something that nobody can be upset about unless you don't like light lagers, but
Then they could be upset.
They could be upset. Yeah. But just a really nice, easy drinking beer.
And Brian, how about you?
Well, I haven't gotten into that Doppelbock yet. I just now finished the Yingling. And I got to say, I love a good Yingling. It's not as good as Bowling Alley Yingling. I still have yet to find a Yingling that compares to that. But It's like what I loved about the Bowling Valley Yingling. That was just Yingling on steroids or something. I don't know what magic was in that barrel, but it was fantastic. But this was a beer I had at the Super Bowl. So did you guys have beers at the Super Bowl? Do you have any special ones? Because I specifically got these to drink and share with the people I was watching with. And
I had a Dogfish Head Worldwide Stout at the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. Okay.
From last year. So yeah, that was a special beer. Predictably, I had a lot of Scofflaw beer at the Super Bowl party.
Makes sense.
But the one special beer that I brought and shared with my friends was that Worldwide Stout.
That's very a good cool. one. That's a good one. I didn't, man. I took it easy. Like I said, I'm trying to behave. So even for the Super Bowl, which I know is almost sacrilegious, but I did not have any beer on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, I got into I saw somebody drinking from an entire case of Natural Ice, and I'm like, hey, man, can I trade you one? I haven't had one of those in ages. I didn't hate it. And I also found a Mickey's Big Mouth that was floating around in one of my coolers that I'd forgotten about. I chilled it, drank it, like super cold. I'm like, all right.
You just really went for all the finest beers, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I really did. I said, you know what? I'm drinking. It's all going to be just the lighter lagers. I'm going to just everything I can come across. So I mixed it up. I had a bunch of them. And I felt fine the next day. They're all so light and I drank plenty of water. Yeah, I got away unscathed. I'm kind of surprised by the whole thing.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, that about wraps it up for this episode of the Beer Guys Radio Show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you enjoy what we're doing here, we would love your support on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/beerguys. We're going to give you cool perks, access to our Discord channel, And if you want to follow us on social media, we're on Twitter and Instagram, more active on Twitter. You're going to see a lot happening over there. But we hope that you guys have a great week. Remember, no live stream next week. We're doing our remote. We'll broadcast that we did with Truck and Tap. So we'll see you in 2 weeks. But thank you so much. Have a good week. And don't forget to drink local. Cheers.